to a better world. This is your host, Mitchell J. Raven, and I'm very glad you're joining us again today. Today, we're going to have another very interesting show. We have brought back one of the favorites of a better world and mine, Bruce Lipton, cellular biologist. He has been coming on to a better world TV and radio podcasts, my God, since the early 1990s? Yep. It's true, and we've done more interviews than I can shake a stick at. And there's a reason for it, because Bruce Lipton is one of the gifted, talented, most intelligent and creative thinkers in the world in general, let alone cellular biology. And he has brought some true, amazing breakthroughs in understanding the relationship of body to mind to consciousness. He is one of the fathers of epigenetics, which we'll be speaking about momentarily. And I've always said that Bruce should have been granted, and still may be, the Nobel Prize for Medicine because of his true breakthroughs that have revolutionized our thinking about biology and its relationship to consciousness. So with that, Bruce Lipton, so good to have you back on A Better World.
Mitchell, my old buddy, you were the guy when I was trying to break out into the world to give him a message. You were the one that opened up that opportunity by letting me be on your show back in the 1990s sometime in the beginning. Yeah. And I have to say, I'm so deeply appreciative of our connection with each other. I so appreciate what you've been doing. But I also want to say I appreciate our audience. Our audience, to me, is the most important thing for this reason. They're the cultural creatives, Mitchell. They're the ones that are seeking a better way of life on this planet. Step outside the box, because the answers are certainly not in the box, outside the box.
That's true, Bruce. I'm so happy to be here with you. Open-minded and open-hearted and eager to learn and eager to take steps in the direction empowered by this kind of information that you and I share. So, well put. I'm so glad. So let's step out of the box. And, you know, people use the phrase epigenetics, the word epigenetics, a lot these days. And I really turn to you. I giggle to myself when I hear them saying it. But do you know where this came from? And but what I'd love for you to do, if you would, is expand upon the idea, define, and then expand and look at the ramifications of people really embracing the idea of it and how it can make a difference in their lives.
Well, it's so important because it's one of the cultural beliefs regarding our heredity, that DNA, the genes, we have been programmed to believe that they turn on and off and control us, and we don't control them. And I go, well, wait, what's the story that the public has received since 1953 when the DNA double helix showed up? And the story is simply this, is that your genes control your life. It's called genetic determinism. And then I say, well, wait a minute. As far as you know, did you pick the genes you came with? And you go, no, I don't know. I say, well, wait, if you don't like the genes, can you change the genes? You go, no, can't do that.
And then, of course, add
that they turn on and off by themselves. And I say, what did you just learn from that? And the answer is, you are victims of your heredity. Oh, there's cancer running in my family, Alzheimer's running in my family, cardiac disease running in my family. I am genetically connected to them. I'm going to get those things, you know, like breast cancer is like, oh my God, this scares the hell out of women. I got the breast cancer gene. And I said, what was the significance? And the answer is, genes control you and you don't control the genes. And therefore, you are powerless. Well, when a person feels they're powerless, then what are they going to look for? Somebody to rescue them. So who do you think steps in when we tell you you can't control your biology? The pharmaceutical people come in and say, well, we'll fix that for you. And just since you believe it, you buy all that pharmaceutical stuff. Well, the whole idea is, the story that you've heard, genetic determinism, 100% false. 100% false. There's no gene that even causes cancer. Right? There's no gene that causes cancer. Well, the breast cancer gene, I say, no, genes are correlated with cancer, but they themselves don't cause the cancer.
Would you say, Bruce, that when you say correlates, would you say predisposition
Yeah,
increases?
you could get a predisposition, but the idea is you still have to activate it. So the
Yes.
point is, the predisposition doesn't control itself. In other words, 50% of the women with a breast cancer gene don't get the cancer. So the first thing you have to say is, well, does possession of the gene mean you get cancer? And the answer is no. And I go, then what's the difference between those that got it and those that didn't get it? They both have the genes. And the answer is, it wasn't in the genes. It was in the consciousness and lifestyle of that individual
There
that
we go.
activated it.
Which puts
Let me
all
just
the
add this,
control
Mitchell, just that a
into
child,
our hands.
what's that? 100%.
That puts control and leverage, if you will, into our hands,
You know,
our choices.
that's what epigenetics is all about. Epigenetics says the genes are not self-active. A gene is a blueprint. And I say, so what? I say, well, go into an architect's office and she's working on a blueprint and ask her this question. Hey, is your blueprint on or off? And she, what the hell are you talking about? It's a blueprint. There's no on and off. I go, aha! DNA is a blueprint to make proteins. It has no on and off. I go,
Yes.
why is that important? I said, it cannot turn on and off. It can be read as a blueprint or not read as a blueprint. I say, oh, what's the difference? It's the consciousness that is controlling the reading. The consciousness is the architect. The genes are the blueprints. And I say, well, what are you going to do as an architect? I say, well, you can take out a blueprint and you could say, I can make this. Or you know what else you can do? I want to change that blueprint a little bit. Maybe move the door over here and put the window over there. I want to do that. And I go, oh, you mean you can adjust the blueprint? I go, yes. Well, that's
So
epigenetics.
what this means, just to translate this beautiful, incredible concept into our lives, is to say, Bruce, that when people take control of their lives, what that's also mean is they're taking control of their genes, if you will. And I don't mean, as I said before, blue genes. They're really taking control all the way down to the cellular and the genetic level. That's a really interesting way to look at all of life because it looks like we're always being diminished. It looks like we're always being disempowered and
We
that
are being
we're
disempowered. It doesn't look like it. We are being
wait a
disempowered.
minute. Yeah, no, that's true. And victimized. But the point is, there's a ladder upward that we can pull ourselves out of the larger picture where we are being disempowered, you're right, by various powers of society, let's just say. And yet we have an escape hatch. And the escape hatch is into our own power, if you will.
That's right. But are you powerful or not? Well, it's based on your education, on your life experiences.
And
And I say
beliefs.
the systems that exist take away your power. The
Sure
medicine
enough.
people say, oh, your body doesn't heal itself, but we will do it for you. It's like, well, that is 100% wrong. Biology is much more effective at healing than the medical profession.
Oh my God.
you know, I love the statistic. Medicine is the third leading cause of death in the United States.
Iatrogenic disease. They even
And
have a
it's sort of
nice
like,
Greek word for it.
if that's the obvious fact, then why don't you question is, why should I go to a doctor when they're the third leading cause of death? I go, because you've been programmed to believe that you're the victim and that they're the hero. And I go, well, that's a program. And
And you see it in Hollywood. If you look at the archetypes that underneath our that underlie our society, it's always the hero and the victim, the good man and the villain. And if you think in those polarities, you're already, in trouble. But we're rarely the hero in the story. And I mean, think of Joseph Campbell and his beautiful work, Hero with a Thousand Faces, where there are old stories that empower us individuals to be the hero in our own lives. And would you say you teach all over the world? You are world renowned and world loved and Twa. And as a result, you are coming face to face with literally thousands of people. I'm wondering, of the messages that you are conveying, what do you feel people are most hungry for and thirsty for?
Is how not to be a victim because that's
How do you
victim is
like that?
powerless. How can I gain power? And the beautiful part about this is we said, well, look, there's a very powerful people over there. Bill Gates is very powerful people. What makes him so powerful? I go, because they've taken away your power. Everybody is equally powerful, except if you lose your power. Then it's not that the other one gained power. It says that you lost your power. You look like, oh my God, the world's out of control. And they look like, oh, we're in charge. And I go, what's the difference? Because they didn't lose their power. And you lost your power. I go, why? Because you bought the idea that you're a fragile human being, that your genes control your life and you don't control them, that mind is not relevant. That was part of medicine. Take the mind out of the story, and the fact was biggest mistake ever, because the
Absolutely.
mind is the creator. And I go, oh, that's so new agey. And I go, no, first let me tell you this. Quantum physics is the most valid of all the sciences on this planet. Of all the research and insights, quantum physics has the most truthful. I go, so what? I go, principle number one. Consciousness is creating your life experience. I go, that's a principle. That's not a philosophy. That's a fact of science. And I go, well, wait a minute. If I'm creating my life experiences, why am I living in this troubled world? Well, I wouldn't, why would I create that? And I go, well, that's the interesting story. You're not creating that. You've been programmed to create that. And I go, what do you mean? I go, you know, it's interesting. The story, the movie The Matrix is not science fiction. It's actually a documentary. I go, what do you mean? I
That's
say,
really
what's the
true.
premise? The premise is everybody's been programmed. I go, well, yeah, that's true. Everybody's programmed. The first 7 years of your life is the developmental period where you are programmed to become part of a family and become part of a community by observing other people's behavior and downloading it. I go, so what? I go, well, the problem with that, of course, is that's called the subconscious mind. But then you say, after age seven, I have the conscious mind, so I don't care about the program because my conscious mind is the creator. The subconscious is the hard drive in the computer. The conscious is the keyboard because that's where you can put your information into the computer. Okay? Now, the idea is after age seven, yes, you can use your conscious mind to create the world you're in. And I go, yeah, but that's the one with wishes and desires. I go, yes, exactly. Conscious mind's wishes and desires, creative. I go, then how come I have all these wishes and desires and I'm not manifesting them? And the answer is unbeknownst to you,
boogeyman.
your conscious mind can do two things. It can look out the window and control where you're going, or it can think. I said, what do you mean? I said, what's the difference? Looking out the window, you put your attention to the world on the outside. Thinking, you redirect your attention to go to the inside. A thought is inside. I go, well, what if you're driving down the street and you start thinking? I go, and then guess what? You're not driving the car anymore. I go, what do you mean? I say, your conscious mind's inside. It's looking for some answer or something. But am I going to die? I go, no, you know what? You didn't even notice it. Why? The subconscious mind with programs, which knows how to drive, is all called the autopilot. When
Exactly.
you are thinking
Second
and you're not
nature.
paying attention, the subconscious programs are playing. And I go, well, that's cool because it knows how to drive the car. I go, yeah, I don't have to pay any attention to that. Well, here's the point. How much time do we spend thinking? Because the fact is simple. The amount of time you're thinking is the amount of time your life is being controlled by the program. The more thinking, the more your life is not in your control, it's in the program control. So how much time do we spend?
A lot.
90, 95% of the day, the average human is thinking. translate that into mathematics, and it says only 5% of the day are you creating life with your conscious wishes and desires, and 95% of the day you're creating life with your programs. Now I go, oh, that's cool. I go, now you really want to know where the monkey wrench is? I go, yeah, what is it? And I go, well, while you're thinking, you're not observing your own program. It's playing automatically, and you don't see it, but everybody else sees it. So if you have a good program, everybody else sees your behavior as good behavior. You have a bad program, everybody's going to respond to your bad program, and you're the only one who doesn't even know that you play the program. And you're
Exactly.
wondering, why are people treating me like this? I'm a victim. I go, no, you were creating and unobserving of your creation. And therefore, all you see is the response to your creation. So the principle in quantum physics, yeah, consciousness is creating your life, fact. But we have two forms of consciousness, creative conscious and habitual subconscious.
Subconscious.
And the subconscious has got the programs. And the point
Let's
about
take
it
a
is
look
that
at something.
you,
Let's, I want to go back to the points are incredible and they need to be really fully digested, embodied, if you will,
yes.
because this is the thing, going back to what you were saying about the matrix, I think it's such an exacting perspective that we need. And at the beginning, we were talking about stepping out of the box, because what you're going to find in the box is not so great. But when you step out of the box, that's where a lot of creativity actually happens. But one of the other things that happens, Bruce, of course, is a greater sense of objectivity toward one's own programming. And of course, that's a lot of the work you do is helping people see. And one of the key elements that we surrendered of true biological reality is the role of the mind and consciousness in with along with biology, the body. So, I want to just highlight this idea of stepping out of ourselves to look in objectively, to observe another key word that you used just now, to see how we've been programmed. We've been programmed to believe, for instance, that war is a normal part of life, that hunger and poverty are just foregone conclusions. And the Hunger Project, I have to give real credit to Werner Erhard and his colleagues who said, wait a minute, maybe there doesn't have to be endemic hunger. Maybe there really is. If we feed everybody, there wouldn't be endless hunger. Maybe there wouldn't have to be endless poverty if we worked things out so there wasn't just, the big bad wolf and everybody else. So anyway, I just wanted to highlight this and hear what you have to say about this phenomenon of bringing the mind back into awareness, into the body. And, Joe Dispenza, for one, a dear friend of yours and a old friend of mine, was instrumental in bringing this kind of mind-body understanding to Harvard University not that long ago. And it's at this point in time, because of the work I'm going to say that you've been doing, and many of your colleagues have been doing, and including Joe, it's not refutable any longer in the higher halls of medicine and medical school. They can no longer refute this idea. And one of the results we have gotten is psychoneuroimmunology, for instance. But I'd love to hear what you have to say about this kind of evolutionary step it looks like is happening finally in medicine.
listen, there's been a struggle of power in our civilization since civilization really came together. And there are different levels of power. And the
Right,
first
right.
level of power was physical, the guy with the muscles and the club. Yes, sir, whatever you want. You're the boss.
Yeah. Yes, boss.
And then at some point, then resources became a power. And I say, what do you mean? I say, well, if I have the food and you have the club, well, you can beat the hell out of me, or we can make an exchange. And I'll give you the food, but you protect me with your club. And I, but you're, I'm paying you with what? My resources. So
Yes.
power gets bought by the resources. Okay? The king has an army. The army were the powerful people, but they work for the king. Okay? So the first level was physical power, second level was resource power, but the third level in the current one is called knowledge is power. And when knowledge took over, the other powers are working for that knowledge right now,
Yes.
okay?
Yeah.
And the point about that is then knowledge is if I give you knowledge, I empower you to, work in the universe and fit in and create the life you want. But if I withhold knowledge from you and I have the knowledge, then you'll pay me. You'll pay me for that. And here's the point. Those people that had control of the knowledge also recognize that if they give you misinformation and call it knowledge and you buy it, you can be disempowered. And you are disempowered. And they have the power. So I joke, I say, those that are seeking power, there's a way of doing it. I say, what is it? First, you give them the poison for free, and then you charge them for the antidote. And I
Right.
go, this happened in the previous civilization when the church was running it. What did they give you for free? Hell. Hell is where the evil people. Really? Who was there? Anybody take a picture? Oh, yeah, Dante took a picture. He showed you what hell was like. And everybody went, oh my God, I don't want to go to hell. What? Oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. Who's telling me I got? Oh, the church is going to tell me the rules, but they're not going to tell me unless I pay them 10%. That's called tithing. In other words, you can have hell for free, but if you want to go to heaven, you got to pay us some money. That's
Exactly.
basically the game.
You
And
know,
then,
it's so interesting. You're basically saying, interestingly, that economics and politics have been part of human existence from the very beginning.
from the beginning, it's manipulation. Its power is manipulator. If it's first physical, then it's resources. But if I manipulate knowledge, I can disempower you. So I did in science, in the current civilization. I said, how do I disempower you? And I mean, the church in the previous one, yeah, the infallible knowledge. And they told me what was, in this civilization, science is the source of knowledge. I love it. You just, in your mind, this blow of mind.
Yeah.
The teachers in the church wear black coats. And the teachers in science wear white coats. I thought that was kind of cute. But the idea about
That's
it is
interesting,
simply
right?
this, is that we buy the science as truth. And I say, you bought a story about genetics. I say, what was it? Genes control your life. I go, yeah, you didn't pick them. You can't change them. They control you. You don't control them. You're a victim. You're a victim of your heredity. That's the program. I go, what do you think if you're a victim? What do you need to do? Who's going to rescue me? And that's the pharmaceutical
Oh.
company. And they come in and say, yeah, we can control your genes for you. And I go, and how's that working? Medicine, and especially pharmaceuticals, third leading cause of death in the United States for the last 20 years. Same thing.
Yep.
And the point about it is why? Because they're operating off a story that is completely untrue. Genes do not control you. The new science, epigenetics, you control the genes. I say, so what's the difference? If you believe you're a victim, then you manifest victim. If you believe you're powerful, then you manifest powerful. And I
You
go,
know, one of the
oh.
crazy things, Bruce, is that even in the medical paradigm, if you look at antidepressant pharmaceuticals, one of the symptoms is depression. So it's like even inside their own world, it is crazy making because it's like there aren't words for it. There aren't
I
words for it.
love it. People should watch the movies about OxyContin. And
Yeah.
OxyContin was a collaboration between a pharmaceutical company and the government. I go, what do you mean? Well, the government, FDA, puts the labels on the bottle.
Yes.
OxyContin is a known addictive drug. But they paid the guy at the FDA and they put a little label on it and said, it's not addictive. It's not, it's like, you take this drug. And then what do we have? A drug company that's selling a drug that's addictive, you go, that's marketing, my friend. Why? Once you're on that drug, you got to have more of that drug. And as you said, the more they take of the drug, the more pain they end up having. They took the drug to get out of pain, But the more drug they take, the more pain they have when the drug wears off.
Exactly.
So they get more addicted,
It's
which means more and more
completely
drugs.
self-defeating. It's completely self-defeating. Now, one of the other aspects of your work, I'm so tending toward the use of adjectives like brilliant, is in
I didn't
the
write that book. I stole it from the universe.
biology.
I plagiarist. I give up. I surrender. I'm a
You
plagiarist.
confess.
The universe told me, and I wrote it down, put my name on it.
I remember when that happened, okay? Belief systems. I mean, one of the beauties that I marvel around in contemplating your work has to do with the effect of mind on cells, literally, which means the effect on atoms, which of course already means the effect on tissue and the effect on organs. But it's also on the effect of DNA itself. Could you talk a little bit about how mind and consciousness will reach back that far? And well, you tell me.
Okay, genes are blueprints to make a human body. And we've also said, well, then genes also control behavior and genes control emotions. Well, when you give the genes all those particular jobs, then you realize, oh my God, the genes are the whole source of my whole life and everything that's going on. Well, here's a simple fact. Genes are blueprints. I go, so what? I say, and when we talk about heredity and you talk about DNA, I say, no, the heredity word first is chromosome. You've heard the word chromosome. I say, yeah, but what's a chromosome? I say, 50% DNA, 50% protein. I go, oh, so you look at heredity as just the DNA. What about the protein? And nobody talks about the protein because nobody gave a damn once DNA was the hot topic.
Junk
So,
DNA,
and for 50
right?
years, they would take the chromosomes, split the DNA, keep the DNA for the study, and throw away the proteins. And if somebody finds, 50% of the chromosome is protein, maybe it's doing something. So I'm going to tell you what it's doing. I'm going to use my arm as a model of a chromosome, okay? It's in a sleeve. I say, what's the sleeve? I say, that's protein. I say, what's under the sleeve? I go, that's DNA, okay? Now, if I took a marker and made the genetic code, let's say for blue eyes. So this DNA is called the gene for blue eyes. I say, that's the maker of blue eyes, okay, that gene. I say, what does it look like when it's inside the cell? I go, oh, can you read the gene for blue eyes, yes or no? Say no, Mitchell.
No.
Oh, what must you do to read the gene for blue eyes? Take the protein sleeve off and
Yes.
expose the blueprint. So before a gene can work, it has to have the proteins removed. And that way, then you could read the blueprint.
So
Well,
it's a
it turns
protective
out
layer. It's a protective layer, you're saying.
it's a control layer
Control
because
layer.
when it's on, you can't read the blueprint. And I say, well, how do you get the blueprint to come off? I say, it's made out of proteins. Not the blueprint, the chromosome sleeve.
Yes.
I got to take the sleeve off so I can see the blueprint. I say, well, yeah, but those are proteins on the sleeve. I say, so what? Environmental signals control the proteins. And so a signal can cause the protein sleeve to come off and then expose the gene blueprint to be read. I go, oh, so the gene didn't control itself. I say, no, the gene was controlled by first the sleeve, but
Yes.
that is controlled by the signals of the environment. So the signals are above the sleeve, which is above the gene. I go, so what? Well, then the hierarchy of control is not in the gene. And it's not even in the sleeve.
It's above,
Above, an epi means
epi,
above. So when I
above
call,
and
what do I call
around.
skin? Epidermis. And it means above dermis. Epi, above
Skin.
dermis. Dermis is just underneath the skin. Epigenetics means control above the genes. So I say, okay, we're going to tone in right here, Mitchell. Point is this. Well, then the signals that control the protein come from the environment. I go, yeah. Okay. Then I say, well, wait a minute. How does this work? And I say, when the signals from the environment are activating the proteins, they control the genes, epigenetic, okay? I go, but is that the environment that's out here? And I go, no. It's the environment under your skin because the cells don't live out here. They live in here. I go, why is it important? I say, does your liver know what's going on outside? Not really, but it knows what to do. Why? Because the brain is sending signals to the liver to say, I need this function. I need this muscle to do this. The brain is the conductor that is controlling the show. How does it do it? The skin is an environment container. Underneath the skin, you got 50 trillion cells. They live in an environment. I say, what is it? The blood. So I say, wait, the signals that control your genes are in the blood. I go, yeah. I say, well, then who controls the signals? I go, the brain is the chemist. And I go, big question, final question. What chemicals should the brain be putting into the blood? And the answer is whatever picture you hold in your mind, the brain will translate that picture into complementary chemistry so that the body will then become a replica of the picture. And I go, what does that mean? I say, well, if you're in love, and I say, what's that all about? I say, oh, I love my life and everything. I say, well, how do you know that? Because the brain in love releases dopamine for pleasure. That's love is great, you know. I say, what else is it? Oh, it releases oxytocin. That environmental signal bonds you to your lover. It releases something called growth hormone. And that's why when people fall in love, the chemistry of the environment filled with growth hormone is the environment that the cells are reading and the cells grow and they're happy. And when you're in love, you're healthy. I say, yeah, but what if you're in fear? I go, oh,
Hey.
completely different chemistry.
Don't
Now you release stress
discuss it.
chemistry, and the stress chemistry and the interference with the immune
Of
system
course.
is involved with protection. But if you sustain it, a sustained protection will actually kill you because you shut off the growth of the system. And I say, how does it control? I say, the brain sent the chemistry of the environment in the body. That's not the environment out here, folks. That's the environment on the inside. I say, why is that important? Because the environment on the inside is based on the interpretation of your brain of what's going on the outside. So if I give you wrong picture outside, then your brain will translate the wrong picture into chemistry that's not going to support you. And all of a sudden it says, well, wait a minute. Then my environment, which controls my cells, is the blood. The signals of that environment are coming from the brain. And the signals that the brain are sending is a complement to the picture of our consciousness. Our mind is creating an environment that controls the cells. Are you sending signals that life is easy and fun and enjoyable and healthy and happy? Are you sending signals like, I don't think there's enough. I'm afraid it's not going to work. And I say, well, what picture is a bad picture? I say, how about I just went to the doctor as a woman. I went to the doctor and I just got an identity that I have the BRCA cancer gene. I say, what picture is in the mind of that woman at that moment? And the answer is, oh my God, a vision of breast cancer. It's the gene that makes breast cancer. So the picture is breast cancer. And I go, guess what? It's the picture that caused the cancer, not the gene.
You remember many years ago. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break and come right back, but I want to just leave one word with you right now because you are speaking that truth as well. Total biology. Remember?
It's the future, and it's not the biology you learned at school, my friends.
Not at all. Okay, good. I'll see you all back in a moment.